We would like to begin this podcast by acknowledging the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, on whose country this podcast was recorded, and the Jara people, on whose country this podcast was edited. Storytelling is an integral part of Indigenous culture. It is a hugely powerful and important way to pass on knowledge and history to future generations. When stories are shared, community becomes stronger. We acknowledge the impact colonisation has had on Indigenous people's culture and their ability to share their history with current and future generations. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. Hello listeners, it's Shireen and Amali from Queer and Now. You can listen to us on Castlemaine's community radio station, Main FM 94.9, on Tuesday nights from 5 to 7pm. We had the honour of attending an event in Sunbury recently called Sounds Gay I'm In, run by the Sunbury Aboriginal Corporation in collaboration with Sunbury Cobourg Community Health. Whilst there, we interviewed several people from the LGBTIQ plus community about their experiences living in Sunbury or regional areas and how they access their community. We hope that this podcast will contribute to the ever-evolving tapestry of stories from the LGBTIQ plus people in Sunbury and its surrounds, and help to grow and nurture a sense of community there.
Trigger warning. The following podcast contains content that may be disturbing for some listeners. Help is available through Switchboard on 1800 184 527 or Lifeline on 13 11 14. What do you think of today's event?
Oh my God, this is fabulous.
I think it's very good what I've seen so far. Nice. I'm surprised that there's this many people. So yeah, I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it.
Why we're here is that we want to support any sort of activity that is about equity and inclusion. Always be involved in that and show our daughter that, you know, there's lots of different people that walk the earth and everyone deserves respect.
Like today, she goes, "What is it?" I said, "Oh, didn't I tell you?" Because I did tell you, but you obviously just don't
listen. I said, "Do you want me to come with you?" She goes, "It's up to you. You can come if you want to. If not, stay at home."
I said, "It'd be nice," was what I said.
I said, "I'll come and have a look."
Yeah, I wasn't going to come. And then she essentially said part of that and was like, "You know, they're not going to keep doing these things if people don't show up." I'm like, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah, they'll have any excuse to not fund these types of events for the LGBTQI community. So I think if we can be here, it shows that we are here.
I have had so many conversations with queer kids today, and even you know, older people my age, like in their 50s, that are living here and isolated, and they didn't know that we were there. And they're all excited, you know, that they're coming. They're going to come to the next event, and I hope that they do, you know. But again, the comfort's there that they know that we're here. And that they're not alone. They only have to reach out. This event is just fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And you know, even if nothing came of today, other than a queer kid went home and just said that was fantastic, Mum. To me, that's a win. So yeah. If prior to this, I was just doing like my own little Facebook group. We've got just over 200 odd members in my group. And the idea was to have something like this, and the girls from Sunbury Cobourg invited me to participate in this event, and to get the group's name and even just the fact that we exist out there is huge. This event is just fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And I'm hoping that Raquel and the Sunbury Aboriginal Corporation we'll host this again, and you know that they get the funding again. If they don't get the funding for this again, I would encourage our community to get behind them, because this is just fantastic. You know, one of the main streets of Sunbury, and we've got our flag at full mast out the front. It's magnificent.
Tell us what it's like living in Sunbury.
We moved to Sunbury because I had family here, and growing up in the inner Melbourne suburbs, and with prices going up while I'd moved interstate for a number of years, came back and I couldn't afford to buy in Melbourne anymore, and I wanted to be close to Sunbury, close to family, and have a bit of nature around us rather than being on top of each other. And being out and away for a while and then coming back, I just realised that the inner suburbs were really crowded and filled with people that are pretty entitled. So the regional areas were more aligned with our, you know, future values and lifestyle choices. So we moved out here and haven't looked back, really.
Well, we moved out of Thornbury 7 years ago. So we were looking for a quieter life, age appropriate, I think, slightly quieter life and more space around us. We love the fact that people tend to be friendlier. There's an ease around, there's a spaciousness around meeting with other people. Yes, you might have to drive a little bit further to find like-minded people, but there's a lot more friendship and ease of connection.
And it's not that really that far to the city. It's just like less than an hour train ride, I think. And yeah, we do like that. Landscape wise, it's not like just a flat landscape. It's like, I love the hills, the peaks and valleys type of landscape.
It's got character.
Yeah, it's just.
It's been, I was very lucky enough that some friends of mine who I was sort of newly friends with moved here about a month before we moved here, who also happened to be gay. And so that helped me to make friends with them and then also to discover Sunbury together, to, you know, go to local wineries or to go to events or just get more involved in the different activities and community around. But it has been an interesting move. We moved here 2 years ago with our mum, who bought a house in the area after living in West Meadows, which doesn't feel that far away, but it actually felt like quite a shift to be in a small community. Because Sunbury, I think, has joined on to the rest of Melbourne, it feels more like its own community and less like a suburb of Melbourne. So by having friends here, it allows you to just meet other people and continue to explore community. I think having my sister here as well has helped a lot.
I grew up in the closer to the city in Melbourne, and my family gradually moved out to Sunbury. I've had an association with Sunbury since the 70s. My relatives went to school here at Salesian. So we gradually moved out here. And when I've come out here, it was very isolating. There's not a lot of, there wasn't a lot of gay sort of people around, like, not that you can identify all the time, but sometimes you can. Going into the city or the inner city where we congregate usually was an effort because it's, you know, such a big drive to get in there. So.
Well, we did live in Thornbury, which at one level was Pride Central for inner Melbourne. But I have to say, I feel much more connected with a wider range of people living in the regions. I feel more connected with the challenges, connected with our community as a queer person, but also with all the creative ways of addressing those challenges and looking at solutions together. So I think I feel more generally just energised by a sense of community and activism and care that was clear to us as soon as we moved to the Macedon Rangers Shire, but loving the way the Macedon Rangers Shire is connected with the other local shires in some of this activism and care as well.
There's a number of different Facebook groups and there's a bit of a presence. I find this council area a lot more progressive and try to lean into the community a lot more effectively than some others, and it's less tokenistic and more meaningful, and they actually get it, so that's nice.
I definitely don't feel connected at all to any kind of queer community in Sunbury. Mm. I do know that, like, I'm pretty sure, like, the Cobor Health Centre do run sort of like a queer group activity, but I haven't gone, and yeah, I just feel very disconnected.
I don't know what it is, but there are so many queer kids here in Sunbury. They're all very quiet and all very withdrawn. And, you know, I went and saw the statistics and read the health report for the gay community. And the statistics for the mental health of kids that age being I think it was like something like triple of what it is in the so-called straight community. And the suicide rates is just, it's disgraceful. It's sad. And it, even now, it really makes me almost cry, because these kids don't need to do it. It gets better. It gets better. And that's, I just want everyone to know that it gets better. What you're feeling will pass. And I think that visibility is the only way that you're going to get safe places, because the visibility makes people feel that it's okay, and it is okay.
So then you get that those moments of feeling like you're maybe imposing on people's spaces.
Mm.
And it's not just that. I think I'm also just since COVID, really, like, just not felt like wanting to put myself in those places either. You know, like, as I was saying earlier, used to volunteer for Joy, but, you know, they've moved now so much further away as well. It's a lot harder to get to. And that was sort of my connection previously to the queer community. And now being so far away, it's like, I wouldn't want to go to that effort. And I also don't want to expose myself to COVID. And, you know, the pandemic really had a huge effect of, like, even when things were coming back, I never went back, because I had I was living with my parents and they were both older. I didn't want to put them at risk.
You want everyone to hold on to each other and support each other. So I always wear a badge of the gay flag every day to work everywhere, because I want that visibility. I want people to see that and feel, oh my God, there's someone there that's wearing it, or approach me if they want to approach me. And, you know, I just want to make a difference and make people feel that it's okay.
What's your favourite midsummer event?
I live for the carnival. That was like one of my first experiences over here, was the midsummer carnival. I've loved it ever since. It's just a great day in the park. Great music, great stores, great people. The dogs. Oh, love the dogs.
But when I think of, you know, like midsummer carnival, it's, when I think about when I used to go to it, it was really fun. I was a lot younger. I'd go with some friends. We'd drink. I'd see every queer person I'd ever known there.
I don't have a specific event, but I do like just being with friends, with queer friends, and just being, you know, catching up with them. And then, because it's been a while because of my the nature of my work, it's really hard to catch up with friends. So I think like with midsummer, it kind of like, reunites us, and then talk about things, about what happened to their lives, my life. So yeah, just catching up with friends, really. Yeah, and meeting new people. Yeah,
I've only ever been to a few midsummers when you get all together in the park in the city, and you get drunk and obnoxious and loud and have fun, and it's okay because that's what everyone's there to do. And just be yourselves. That's probably my favourite event.
I'm a bit long in the tooth these days for midsummer, so I'd say this is my favourite midsummer event.
Come to these wonderful events. I've got Vic Pride tomorrow, which is amazing. Long day, but, you know, we'll get through that.
What kind of events would you like to attend?
I think smaller events on a more local level that happen more frequently. I think having more localized hubs of queer spaces or queer events, queer groups in local regions, so that you can get to know your community that is local to you. So you can meet people in Sunbury, in the Macedon Ranges, further out in Castlemaine. I know that Daylesford having a queer presence and having the Chill Out Festival is also and a good way for more regional people, but I think just more regularity and smaller scale events. I think having a queer space as well in somewhere like Sunbury would be great, to have a pride space or a queer space in one of the community centres around here.
I want to find people with shared interests, either whether it could be advocating for policy or advocating for other groups, or, you know, gardening or doing things based around interests, or even like other queer carers that we could connect with and discuss and help each other in our lives, but not necessarily even about being queer, more just, I know you're queer, so that's great, but like, that's not what this is about. This is about
common ground. I think because so many queer events, especially, are geared at younger people who want to drink and go out, which that is valid as well. But as you get super older, what else is there? And if you have other parts of your identity that you want to share with the queer community, it also doesn't really address that the rates of substance use and abuse can be higher in the queer community. So like a queer carers group, I think that would be so interesting to have, even exploring how does being queer, maybe caring for someone who rejected your identity, how does that impact you as carer? Yeah.
And also things like as we sort of develop, grow older, like I've been recently diagnosed with like ADHD, and obviously that reflects on the rest of your life.
I guess more community events like we're at now, that kind of incorporates everyone into the community, and whether it's allies or everything, just being inclusive, I guess. And, you know, I think these type of events are probably really, really still new to Sunbury.
Yeah.
I think Sunbury's probably still got a long way to go to encompass a lot of the LGBTI community, but I think it'll get there over time. It's just it's a process, I guess.
Yeah, and I think social media is a really huge thing about inviting more people, because we joined this Facebook group of Sunbury LGBTQI plus group, and we've been seeing lots of posts about, you know, like events, even like coffee meetups and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then just like this event right now, we saw it online, and mm-hmm. then we were like, oh, because we're new to Sunbury, it's worth having a look and probably meeting new people, which we already did. We mm-hmm. met the admin president of the group, Sue, and mm-hmm. we've met Raquel and other people. So mm-hmm. it's actually like a good experience for me. And I just wish that there's more events. I think it's a good thing as well that I think visibility is important. So if other people see that we're having events like this, it would be make them more respectful and more open-minded about what's happening in the gay community. Yeah,
I think the Facebook group that's come up, that Sunbury and the region, there's a queer Facebook group that's come out that I've tried to connect with. I think we've also been in a tricky position. We're also carers. We care for our mum who has Alzheimer's. And so it's also been hard to connect to community when we've been trying to get her to connect to community.
Yeah.
So now I think, for me at least, not speaking for you, I want to try and get more connected, and through these events as well as a way to do that.
Yeah, definitely agree. And like, I definitely think for our story, caring for our mother as she declines has very much taken over our lives at this stage.
And has been sort of usurping other elements of identity.
Yeah.
My partner came from overseas, or I should say my ex-partner, came from overseas and was trying to make friends. And how do you make friends of your own kind when everyone's in the closet in Sunbury? So I created the Sunbury and Surrounds LGBTIQ social club with the idea of helping the isolation that our community feels here and in the Macedon Ranges. And the idea is to make that connection. You know, if you are isolated and you want to go to the movies with someone, just pop it in the chat and see if anyone's free, you know. Or we do a regular coffee catch-up on the third Saturday of every month down at the Brown Cow in Rosenthal at 1 p.m. And we have that every month. And sometimes we'll just have 6 people. Sometimes we'll have 15. But it's a way of combating that isolation and that loneliness that people of our community are feeling. And, you know, we need to support each other, and we need to hold each other up and to band together.
I think it's that, like, as you get older, you have to prioritize your time so much more.
Yeah.
And you maybe are just busier. I mean, you're obviously busy when you're young. It's not to say that, but you maybe just can't place enough time into the value of just going to like yayas, you know, like you can't necessarily do that anymore. And you need to, you know, value base all your decisions perhaps. And you've got to go, okay, well, I've only got this amount of time. I really want to be exploring this thing, whether it is like sustainable gardening, horticulture, homesteading, whatever. But like, obviously it'd be so much better if I could do that in a quick group.
Mm.
So my idea is to get people that are over 25, preferably over 30, to actually have a safe place they can come. I've chosen the youth centre in Evans Street because of a few reasons. It's got a side entrance, so if people haven't come out, then they feel safe to just park down the back and make their way in. It's also next to a bus stop. It's across the road from Coles. It's just an absolutely perfect venue. It's got a huge area, kitchen, it's couches. It's just a lovely, lovely facility.
So really, the sky's the limit. You want to have a movie night, we'll have a movie night.
It's true.
If you just want to invite a few of your close friends and sit up the corner and have a drink of coffee or whatever, you can do that as well.
But I'm obviously going to veer towards the queers, you know, like I'll seek them out in those groups. But obviously if it was easier to find them, that would be great too.
That visibility and just encouraging each other and supporting each other, that for me is what it's all about.
What we see Sunbury is now in 2024, and if we look in 2028, is going to be completely different. It's almost going to be like a suburb of Melbourne. Yeah, there's so many activities and estates and, you know, whatever direction you're looking, there's so much development.
Do you have any stories from your life that you'd like to share with us?
We're already married under international law, and we have been married for 10 years, but Australia was now catching up. And, you know, we'd have people say, you can't be married, it's not legal here. And it's like, I don't have to prove anything. And so having to go through that whole debate and, feel the ignorance of people and the level of entitlement that, you know, a government with a stroke of a pen changed the Marriage Act to include sex and gender and be divisive. They could have changed it back easily, but they decided not to, and we had to go through all that and experience all the hate. So I don't think it's necessarily regional or rural or peri-urban attitudes. It's just that now we're much more exposed to people's ignorance and entitlement to an opinion. I think when there's any sort of platform of social justice, we need to present, we need to advocate, we need to be present.
It was very good when I was younger. I have an amazing support system, and I think that's really key. My family are 100% behind me, which I'm so grateful for. And I have amazing friends that have also just lifted me. I would not be able to do what I do without these people. Yeah, it was just from outside of my circle that I would get the, you know, the comments and the side eyes and everything like that, you know, a bit of violence, but we got thick skin, so we make it through. When you're authentically yourself, people are drawn to you, whether they're good or bad. Some of them may be bad, but a majority of the time it's good people that care about you and just want to celebrate you for you, which is amazing, and vice versa. So good people attract good people. I've had a lot of really amazing role models to help guide me on this journey we call life.
I mean, I came out when I was 21, but I mean, everybody in my family and all my close friends knew I was gay from probably 16, 17. And most of the people I associated with at the weekends were also out and gay. So we used to go to the local club every Friday night. We used to go on coach trips into London and the gay clubs. So it was, you just lived your life like I'm living it now.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever changed for me.
I just remember when I came out in the 80s, wasn't a good time. Wasn't a good time. Some pretty horrible stuff happened in the 80s.
I came out, I'm in my 50s now, and I came out when I was 17, voluntarily, but prior to that people were telling me I was gay. And I came out to my mum when I was 17 and initially told her I was bisexual. I grew up in Footscray, so in the 80s, and, you know, like one minute I'd be breakdancing in the street with the boys and doing rap performances, the next minute I'd be a disco bunny wearing the Madonna look, and on Thursday nights I'd go to Subterranean and Zero Club and have my hair done in a mohawk. So back in those days, you could be whoever you wanted. So coming out at that time was both interesting and difficult at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And what does pride mean to you?
Pride means living unapologetically, without hurting anybody, of course, but to be as authentic as you can be and to not be judged for it. I guess when you're authentically yourself, people are drawn to you, whether they're good or bad. Some of them may be bad, but a majority of the time it's good people that care about you and just want to celebrate you for you, which is amazing, and vice versa. So good people attract good people.
Pride to me, so many things. Pride to me is building each other up, is standing together as the, whatever you want to call us, the alphabet soup community, the rainbow community. I think that we need to support ourselves. We need to build each other up. We all need to step up. We all need to put our hand out and help someone.
To me, I guess it probably means just everyone being able to get together and celebrate who we are as being different, and just being able to celebrate that, I guess. Celebrate our uniqueness and who we are as a whole, I guess.
Yeah.
As a community.
Yeah. I personally think that pride means being proud and loud of your individuality, of your sexual orientation, of your race, of your sex. I love this saying. I love this saying that don't care about other people, because those people who mind don't matter, and those people who matter don't mind.
Well, I get it from, being part of both communities, both Indigenous community and the queer community. So it's always important and to be visible for both communities. So pride to me is very important, because without it, I mean, we wouldn't know each other. We wouldn't be able to celebrate with each other and learn each other's stories.
I think pride usurps division. It stands up against harassment, bullying. It puts a positive face on vulnerability. And I think taking a space and moving in a pride, powerful, collective position together is the only way we can go.
What advice do you have for your younger self or young people within the LGBTIQ+ community?
Reflect on what you would really enjoy doing. Seek out information, places, times, events when something connected with that is happening, and you will definitely notice and find some of your tribe. So whether it's music or sport or stamp collecting or theatre or dancing of any kind.
Don't assume you know what's going to happen, because completely unexpected things around the corner. Don't assume it's always going to be like it is right now, because a very small shift in your awareness can bring about a whole new vista of possibilities. If you're on your own, don't assume you're always going to be on your own. If you're with somebody, don't assume you're always going to be with somebody.
To be honest, I've traveled the world a few times, and the world is a big place. Where you are now is not necessarily where you're going to be in 6, 12, 18, 24 months' time. And people's lives change. Who we are 10 years ago is not generally who we are now, but also the people that are around us as well. People come in and out of our lives all the time, and that's a good thing. And learn things from everyone that you meet.
Don't worry about what other people think of you. Seriously, and giving anyone rent-free room in your mind is not helpful for anybody. Don't give people power. They don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. And it's not going to change the outcome.
Just be happy. And it's not going to be an easy road, like growing up, especially like with my background in the Philippines. And we have this Christianity thing that's been always linked to everyone's, you know, personality. And just growing up as the only son, there's a lot of pressure on my shoulder, like with an Asian, like with any other Asian race. So I would just tell myself to just love yourself, and then just be happy, and then you'll be able to meet new people that will give you lessons in life, and yeah, just be happy.
We're all doing our thing and really, really want to be friendly and welcoming to anyone who's questioning or looking for community in any way. So we get to connect with you if it's on the basis of something you enjoy doing that makes you feel more alive and bright and curious about where you are and who else is on the journey with you.
And sex is great. Explore it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
This podcast was produced and edited by Shireen Clough and Amali O'Hara and made possible through funding from the Midsummer Regional Activation Program. Theme music was Sunny by Hardsman.